Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Laziness. We looked at it and saw that laziness is a spirit. It's referred to in Isaiah chapter 61 verse 3 as a spirit of heaviness. And when we looked up that word heaviness, it meant weakness, dullness, discouragement, a spirit of discouragement, a spirit of dullness, make you dull and weak, disappointment, being restrained. It's a spirit that will restrain you, hold you back from doing the things that are in your heart. So we have to understand that when we're dealing with laziness in our life, we're not just dealing with a physical thing or a mental thing, we're dealing with a devilish thing. We're dealing with spirits, evil spirits, spirits of heaviness, spirits, we could say, of laziness. Because when you look up the word laziness, one of the synonyms for it is heaviness. So it's a spirit of laziness that you and I are dealing with. And when a person is dealing with this, with laziness, many times they lose their vision. They can't seem to get their thoughts together. You know, again, everything's heavy, everything's hard. Everything just seems so difficult. And this is what helps contribute to them being lazy, not wanting to do anything, not able to get anything done. And the Bible says in Proverbs 29 verse 18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. That's what it says in the Old King James Version, but New King James, which is what I always read from, it says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. So Old King James says, where there's no vision, the people perish, which is a good translation. But another translation, New King James, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. So without revelation, without a vision, when people lose their vision and things become hopeless, they cast off restraint, which means they lose their self-control. They lose their self-discipline. They no longer discipline themselves and control themselves. Proverbs 19:15 says, laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. Now again, this laziness casting you into a deep sleep is dealing more than just being tired and low on energy. Just because you're a little tired, low on energy, didn't get enough sleep, or didn't eat very good, or just ran the marathon or something like that, and you're tired. You just don't feel like doing anything because of physical weariness. That isn't the spirit of laziness. The spirit of laziness goes beyond that. It casts somebody into a deep sleep. It makes a person, like I said, unable to be able to be productive and get things done. I'm not just talking about being tired for a little while. They just can't seem to pull things together. And a lot of times, you know, they just put things off. We'll push things off. Because many times there's fear involved in it. You know, whenever you're dealing with demons, you know, there's always going to be fear involved in it. And so fear, anxiety causes people I'll do it later. I'll do it tomorrow. And they put things off because they don't want to have to face whatever it is they have to do because of fear. But thank God, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. Amen. Notice that, a spirit of fear. Right? We see that over in the book of Timothy, a spirit of fear. God hasn't given us a spirit of laziness, a spirit of fear, but we've got the spirit of faith. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, we have the spirit of faith to overcome these things, to overcome heaviness, laziness, and fear. We can overcome these things by the spirit of faith that is upon our lives. People that are under the spell or the power of the spirit of laziness, it doesn't mean they're not diligent. They will diligently work hard to try and get out of work. You know, sometimes it's the funniest, craziest thing to say. But you'll see people, they'll work so hard to not work. And they're actually work, it takes more work for them to get out of work than if they just did their job. They'll make their lives miserable trying to do nothing. And if they just went ahead and did the things that, you know, they were supposed to do, they'd feel a whole lot better about themselves, and life would be a whole lot easier. See, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. Again, they're diligently working hard at getting out of work, getting out of diligently working. It doesn't make any sense. But you see, this spirit of laziness, it really isn't about causing you not to be able to do anything. It's trying to keep you from being productive. It's trying to keep you from accomplishing goals, accomplishing things, getting things done. The devil doesn't mind if you're just going to play, party all day and party all night. You know, he don't mind. The devil don't mind if you're going to party all day and party all night. He'll let you do that. Oh, yeah. He'll fund it. I mean, he'll get the money to you. Go party, man. Get some friends and go party. He don't mind that. But he minds you being productive. Laziness doesn't mind if you want to go out and play and go fishing and go hunting. But laziness will make it hard for you to be able to roast what you caught in hunting. That's what the Bible says over in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 27. It says, the lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is a man's precious possession. You know, that scripture just reminds me of back when I was a little guy and my dad took us all out fishing. We went deep sea fishing. We lived out on Long Island, New York, and so we drove out to the end of the island, got, you know, chartered one of these big boats, went out, spent the day out there fishing, you know. And man, we pulled in some good fish. And we caught a lot of great fish, got in the boat. It was very exciting. It's very exciting to go fishing, very exciting to catch fish. And then, you know, we had all these fish put in a nice cooler with ice and everything, and we went on home. And we got home and we dropped the cooler out in the backyard. Everybody just went off, got washed up. Oh man, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. Everybody just wanted to go to sleep. And I remember after getting all washed up and getting ready to go to bed, I came down and there's my dad in the kitchen. And there he is, just cleaning the fish, skinning them, you know, filleting them, doing, wrapping them up, you know, putting them individually wrapped and everything. I mean, we just had a long trip all the way from the end of the island, been out all day fishing. We come home and nobody's even thinking about cleaning anything. And yet there he is, and he's just working and cleaning everything up, packaging it real nice. And you can see it was precious to him. What he was doing was precious to him. And that reminds me of this scripture, which is a lazy man. I hate to say that about myself that day. I was a kid, so give me some slack. But a lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting or fishing. He doesn't take it the next step. You know, a lot of folks will go out hunting and then the deer will rot. You know, whatever they caught, you know. The food will rot. Because they didn't follow through. They didn't do the part where it would actually turn that trip into something productive, where you actually have food to eat. We like doing the fun part, but what about the productive part? What about the productive part? Laziness will try to keep you from being productive, but a lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is a man's precious possession. Whenever I read that, I just see my dad in the kitchen with the fish. You know, it's precious to him. Him figuring things out, him tinkering with stuff and figuring out how to fix things while everybody else doesn't want to be bothered by it. And he'd just sit there, figure it out. It was precious to him to figure things out. You know, it feels good when you accomplish things, right? You accomplish things, it does something for you personally. It strengthens you. It helps you. And the more lazy we are, the more lazy we become. And you know, you never feel good about yourself when you're yielding to laziness. Right? You never feel good about yourself. You never feel good about being unfruitful, unproductive, not getting things done. People hate that. It's like they're trapped in it. And one of the reasons why they're trapped in it is because they don't know it's a spirit. But we're getting a hold of that in these teachings. We're understanding it is a spirit, so we do have to take authority over it and resist that thing. And if we'll resist it, the Bible tells us that it will flee. The enemy will flee from us. So we can't just sit there, stop. Where's this coming from? Take the authority that's been given to you in the name of Jesus. Use the name of Jesus on the thing and drive it out. Cast it out. Don't let it cast you into a deep sleep. So people can develop in laziness. You know, by continuously yielding to it, you could develop in laziness, where you become more and more lazy to the point where you can't do anything. You just can't get anything done. Over in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 24, it says, a lazy man buries his hand in the bowl of cereal and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. In Proverbs 26, 15, it says it a little differently. It says, the lazy man buries his hand in the bowl. It wearies him to bring it back to his mouth. Now, I've actually seen this. There was somebody out in Oklahoma that I had led to the Lord when I was living out there. He didn't have a job, and, you know, the government paid for everything. He had some handicaps, had some issues and stuff, and so, you know, he practiced laziness. Laziness really controlled his life, and he hated it. He didn't want to be like that, but he was, like, trapped in this spirit of laziness, and I remember I took him in for a while after I got him saved, and I was trying to really help disciple him, and I remember one day he came out of his room and went into the kitchen to fix himself something to eat. And he pulled some stuff out of the cabinets and put things on the counter. He starts getting exasperated. You know, just starts getting exasperated with what he's trying to do. And all of a sudden, he just took everything. He threw everything back in the cabinet and just in a rage went out of the room. So I went out there to comfort him. Took a little while to calm him down. I mean, you could see he was under the influence of a demon spirit. I mean, he was so frustrated and angry and hateful. But here he was just trying to fix himself something to eat, and he was overwhelmed. Most of the time, what he would just usually do is just take one of these instant drinks, and that's what he would have. He'd just open up a package of something and stir it in milk or water, and that would be his meal. Because it was so hard for him just to accomplish a simple task like that. It was overwhelming to him. Why? Because he had trained himself in yielding to this spirit to the point where, just like this, he pulled the bowl out. He was trying to put something in it, but couldn't get it to his mouth. It wearied him. It overwhelmed him. That's how bad it can get. It can get that bad. We can't let ourselves slide further and further back into laziness. And we've all got to deal with it because it's a demon spirit and it's in this world. And some of the most successful people in life have had to deal with this spirit of laziness. And so you and I are going to have to do it. You and I are going to have to resist it. Don't think there's necessarily something wrong with you because you're dealing with this. That's another trick of the devil. Just say, well, it's just you. You got a problem. You just can't put one foot in front of the other. Look at you. You're just such a bad. Then we just get down on ourselves and we just spiral down into this hopeless depression. And that doesn't help anybody. Now you just get more and more and more down on yourself, more and more hopeless, feeling like you can't get anything done. So you don't. You end up not going anywhere. So we don't want to exercise yielding to laziness. We want to yield to diligence. We want to exercise and develop diligence in our life. And we can. We can exercise and develop diligence. Romans chapter 12. And that's what I want to get into now is diligence. How many know faith comes by hearing the word of God? So as we hear the word of God on the subject of diligence, see, we've exposed laziness and what that is, where that comes from, what that's all about. Now, we're going to build our faith up to be diligent. Diligent. Romans chapter 12, and in verse 9, it says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Abhor it. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Prefer others above yourself. Verse 11, not lagging in diligence. Notice that. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Serving. Serving the Lord. See, when we're talking about going to work, when we're talking about having a job, for us, it's not just a job to make money. We're not working for a living. We are serving the Lord. And we have to understand that. If you have your heart motives in the right place, that's going to help you to be diligent. That's going to cause you to have more grace upon your life to accomplish the things that you want to accomplish and need to accomplish in life. You need the grace of God to be productive, to be truly fruitful, to really get things done. So then you have to understand why you're doing what you're doing. We're doing all things as unto the Lord. Not unto a paycheck, not unto somebody else, but number one, unto Him. Now thank God we get paid. We need to budget our money. We need to make sure we have enough income coming in. Yes, I understand. Do your math. Be smart. Learn how to profit in life. But do it all as unto the Lord. He's the focus. So we're seeking to serve Him. There was somebody that was collecting unemployment. You could tell they had really no intentions of getting a job, because what they were getting through unemployment was actually more than, you know, what they felt they could get if they went out and got a job. So why would I go get a job? I mean, I'm getting paid from the government. I'm getting unemployment. I mean, there's no reason for me to go get a job. I said, listen, it isn't about money. I said, you got to go serve. I said, you got to go out somewhere and you got to serve the Lord by helping people. You need to get in a job and serve. I said, you're going to be miserable living at home, getting money from the government and not out serving somewhere. You need to serve. You're called to serve. And again, that's all connected to not lagging in diligence. Right? Verse 11 again. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, what? Serving the Lord. So that's got to be our motive. We're not just going to work for money and just to do a job. We're going to do what we do is unto Him. We're looking to serve God, please God, be fruitful in life. And what you're doing now might not be the ultimate thing that you're going to end up doing in life. Maybe there'll be a series of things you'll be doing in life. It could be working in a restaurant, working in a clothing store. It could be a whole host of things. It's not insignificant. It's helping people. It's helping humanity. I like to say, the people that put those chairs together that you're sitting in tonight, working in a factory, putting together a chair, has helped the work of God tonight. You're paying attention so well because you're in a chair and not sitting on the floor. So the chairs help. People that put paint, wallpaper, and all these different very natural things together are helping people, helping humanity, and that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be a help to the world, and that's serving Him. So you never want to undermine what you're doing and think, well, it's not really spiritual, it's not really serving God, it's just a job. No, look at your job as, how is this helping people? This is helping somebody. Whatever the job is, it's helping somebody somewhere. And that's how you have to look at it. And that's love. And love, the love of God, is fervent. The love of God is passionate. The love of God is energizing. Lust, selfishness, burns out real quick. It doesn't have endurance. Love endures long. Lust does not endure long. It runs out of breath real quick. So if we're doing things just for the lust of the flesh, to please ourselves, and just to help our hand, just me, and I got it, what I got to do for me, you're going to find ourselves getting worn out. And once we start getting worn out, now we're getting over here into this spirit of laziness, where we're yielding to this, coming under the power of this spirit of laziness. So let's have the right motive. Why are we doing what we're doing? I get up, I serve the Lord every day. Well, it's easy for you. You're working at the ministry. No, anything you do in life is serving the Lord. I didn't start this. I started somewhere else. I was faithful there. And He said, okay, now do this. And that's how it'll be with you. And then do it out of a heart of love, see, because that's love. And that's going to help you to be fervent, because love is fervent. Notice again, he says in verse 10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor. This is all connected to diligence. Brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So we're serving the Lord, and therefore what we're doing out of a heart of love, and not out of selfishness. And that's all part of helping us to have the grace of God upon our life to be diligent. Have the grace of God on our life rather than a spirit of laziness on our life. In the first place, we need to be the most diligent is concerning our spirit. Keeping our spirit. Not keeping our job, not keeping our clients, not keeping the family together, keeping our spirit, keeping, guarding our hearts. And so the Bible says over in Proverbs 4, verse 23, it says, keep your heart with all diligence. All diligence, man. When it comes to your heart, when it comes to your spirit, what you put in, what you allow in, he said, you get diligent. When it comes to your spirit, taking care of your spirit, you be diligent. You give all diligence, all hands on deck when it comes to taking care of your spirit, taking care of your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence for or because out of it springs the issues of life. Everything that goes on in life is going to be the result of what's going on in your heart. So if you want things going good for you in life, it starts with your heart. Starts with your spirit. Now, there's a lot of people, they're diligent outwardly. They're diligent with their job. They're diligent with their career. They're diligent with a lot of natural things. But totally lazy when it comes to spiritual things. Totally lazy when it comes to spiritual things. And a person that is lazy with spiritual things, but very diligent with natural things, is a person who's building their life on sand. It's not going to stand. And you might build it real tall, but eventually it's going to come down. Because you're building on sand. You're top heavy. You're out here in the flesh. You're diligent. You're building this great whatever. You're building your life up out here in the natural. But down here, the foundation, your spirit, isn't growing, isn't developing. And so eventually what's going to happen? Eventually the whole thing's going to come down. And you'll lose it. You'll lose everything. So prosperity, true success in life always starts from the inside out. First place to be diligent is with spiritual things. With your spirit. Number one. Everybody say the first place. I need to be diligent. Is with spiritual things. Exodus chapter 15. Verse 26 says, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I'll put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Praise God. Notice that if you diligently heed God's voice, follow his commandments, follow his word, it's going to affect you physically. It's going to affect you physically. It's going to affect your health. So rather than running around just taking care of our health and just taking care of things physically, number one, we first need to take care of our spirit. Take care of spiritual things. Heed God's voice. Be obedient to him. Follow his will for your life. Do what you know to do concerning God's will for your life. And it's going to protect you from disease. It'll cause you to overcome and get healed when you're dealing with some kind of symptom in your body because you took care of your spirit. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9 says, only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest you depart from your heart, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. And teach them to your children and your grandchildren. That's one of the ways to help keep it yourself, is teach it to others. Share it with others. Talk about it to others. You learn something from the Word of God, share it with people. Talk about it. Teach it to others. Pass it on. This is something we need to be diligent about. Diligently, diligently keep ourselves in the things of God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7 says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children." Talking about God's ways, God's commandments, God's words. "You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." Talk the word. Talk diligently. This is being diligent. You got to watch about laziness when it comes to spiritual things. It's amazing how diligent parents will be to make sure that their children are taken care of academically. I mean, they're going to make sure their kids learning math, and their kids learning English, and their kids are learning whatever they're teaching in school. But then when it comes to the things of God, it's like, well, I don't want to push anything on Junior. You know, I don't want to make him read the Bible, because then he might despise it, not want to read the Bible. It's funny, you don't do that with anything else except the Word of God. That's the area we're not going to be diligent. I met a grown man. Him and I were talking. I started sharing the things of God with him. And he said, he didn't want anything really to do with church. I said, why is that? He said, I don't know. He said, I guess it's because, you know, my parents just pushed it on me when I was younger, you know. They just pushed it on me, you know, to have to read the Bible and go to church. I guess that's probably why I don't want anything to do with it today. I said, well, did they push math on you? Now, he has his own business. I said, did they push math on you? Yeah. I mean, did they make you go to school, make you do your homework? Or did they let you stay home and not go to school? I said, no, they made you do math. And they made you. I said, isn't it interesting that you don't despise math like that? In fact, you've gone out and used your math to start a business. And you count your money every day using your math. Isn't that amazing? It's funny how he goes, well, I never looked at it that way before. I never looked at it that way before. See, people just, they don't look. That's the problem. It's pretty simple, isn't it? No, more important than your children being trained academically is them being trained spiritually. Spiritually. So again, here we go. Here's the top heavy stuff. Here's building things from the outside to the outside. And there's no insides. We're neglecting the inside. And meanwhile, that's where we need to give all diligence. Give all diligence. I'm reminded of what God said to Abraham over in Genesis chapter 18. In verse 17, it says, "And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him." Notice how important it was to God that Abraham was going to train his family in faith. He was going to train his family. He was going to train his children in faith. God said, I know him. I know this man. He's going to become a great nation because I know he's going to pass his faith on to his kids. He's going to train his kids' faith. No doubt he trained them how to work out in the field and work taking care of the animals out in the barn. They learned all those things, but he made sure that they understood the way of the Lord. That wasn't a little side thing. That's just as important. That's just as important. 2 Peter chapter 1. He says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge," and so forth and so on. But notice that. Add to your faith. Add to your faith these things. So we need to be building our faith up and adding godly character to our faith and giving a little diligence to it, you know. Give a little extra time when you have some time to to add to your faith. Is that how he's talking? No. Giving all diligence. Is somebody listening out there? Giving all diligence. Not, well, if you know, give a little diligence, give a little time to it. You know, if you have a little extra time, throw a little extra time in there and add to your faith. No, give everything you got to it. Give everything you got to it. Well, let's look up the word diligence. What does this mean? What this word mean? Diligence, when I looked up the word diligence, it means in the original language, decision. I thought that was interesting. Decision. In other words, a person that's diligent is a person that makes their decision. They choose what they're going to do. It's not, well, whatever happens, happens. That's just the opposite. That's laziness. Well, I don't know. We'll just see. We'll see. Whatever happens, happens. No, that's laziness. Diligence makes decisions. Makes its mind up about things. Strict decision. Strict decision or firm decision. It makes a firm decision. We're going to do this. We're going to get it done. It's firm. See, it's a discipline thing. There's self-control. I've made a decision to do something. And I've got boundaries around myself to make sure I'm going to get this thing done. It's a firm decision. It's not like, well, okay. And then a little while later, a little pressure comes. Oh, do we have to? Well, you know, I'd rather not do that now. No, we're going to do this. They can get it done. It also means incisive, which means keen, perceptive, insightful. Keen, perceptive, insightful, razor sharp. Razor sharp. I like that, don't you? How many want to be razor sharp? Praise God. What would be the opposite of that? Dull. I don't like dull. Dull sounds dull, doesn't it? I mean, if you're dull, then you're probably living a dull life. And I probably don't want to hang out with you. I mean, is anyone going to hang out with someone that's dull? Yeah, you go out and hang out with someone, like, they're just dull. It's terrible. Diligence isn't dull. Diligence is sharp. Razor sharp. Wow. I like that. Diligence. Determination means determined. Diligence is determined to do things, determined to get things done, whatever that might be. It gets determined about it. Eager or enthusiastic, fervent, enthusiastic, get excited. Praise God. You got to, you know, if you're going to get anything done in life, you got to get excited about it. I mean, you're not going to get much done if you're not excited about what you're doing. I mean, if you just, oh, I just don't know, you know, okay, well, if I have to, see, everything's I have to, everything's I have to, right? Like we said last time, Proverbs says that the hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy person will be put to forced labor. They always have to be pushed to do something. They're being forced to do it. They're being forced to do it. They're not enthused. There's no, they're dull. They're not interested. There's no eagerness to get anything done. You got to stir yourself up. You got to stir yourself up from the inside. Get excited. Get a vision. Get that revelation. Get some insight. Praise God and how this will be a blessing to you and be a blessing to others. Glory to God. Let's get some stuff done today. Let's make the bed. Praise God. Get excited about the bed getting made. Hallelujah. Because when you get that done, you're ready to do something else. Something else great. I don't know. It just feels good, too, when you walk past and your bed's made. I like getting it made as fast as possible, you know. Because it just feels good. It just feels like, well, thank God the room's in good shape. But, you know, if you go from one pig slop to the next pig slop, and you get in a car and the car's a pig slop, you know, you got the McDonald's box back there from 2 weeks ago, and, you know, and you got all this stuff on the floor, and, you know, and you've got to push stuff out of the way and take a shovel to get in this car seat. You dig through everything. I mean, you know, you just drive around in that mess, you feel like a mess. You're not going to feel good about yourself, and then that's going to affect your performance in life. That's going to affect you and how diligent you can be. So it's time to clean that up. I said it's time to clean that up, so let's pick that up, okay? When you get home, just pick it up. I'll do it later. Pick it up! Pick it up. Jesus is coming over. Don't make him walk through that mess. Pick it up. Vacuum. Clean up. I honestly, too many people live like rats. I don't want to be too much, but a lot of people do. I mean, they just let stuff pile up. I mean, you know, they got banana peels on their counter from 2 weeks ago, and it's not yellow anymore. I mean, put the thing in the trash can and take the trash out. Why do we have 3 bags of trash sitting here? I'm just saying, let's clean up after ourselves. You're going to feel a lot better. You got to do it. It's important. See, people don't do it. Well, it's not really that important. It's very important. It's affecting you. Because if you feel like you're living in a junk drawer, then you're going to feel like you're going to get overwhelmed. You're going to get overwhelmed by the simplest things. It's like, you know, where's the pen? Where's the pen? Forget it. I'll write with my nail polish. You know, I'm just saying, you get overwhelmed. Oh, I can't find the pen. How am I going to find the pen in this mess? It's a big pen. It's very hard to do. It's hard to find that needle in the haystack. So don't do that to yourself. See, this is going to help clear your mind. It's going to help your vision. It's going to help you to be able to be productive. It's going to help you when it comes to resisting laziness and developing diligence. Just start doing those little things. Start doing those little mechanical things. And just don't tolerate it anymore. Say, well, I've tried it. Every time I tried it, only lasts a couple days. Well, do it again. Don't let laziness overwhelm your life. Don't let that heaviness sit on you and rob you of being productive and fruitful. Keep reaching for more. Keep reaching for better. Keep stretching. Keep stretching. And clean up after yourself. It's all part of developing diligence, growing in diligence, determination, eager, enthusiasm, fervent. Get fired up about your life. Your life is awesome. Turn to somebody and say, your life is awesome. You got to get this. You are amazing. Your life is awesome. It's worth taking care of and maximizing to its fullest potential. It's worth doing whatever it takes to have God's best for your life. Don't settle for anything else. The only one that wants you to settle for less than God's best is the devil. Don't give in to him. I said, don't give in to him. Now, everybody's starting at different places. You know, some people, they were raised in a home where there was discipline, and you clean up after yourself, and this, that, and the next thing, and spiritual diligence, and all these great things. Then there's other people that they didn't have that at all. They grew up in the pig pen. They grew up in a rat's nest. But they're not staying in a rat nest. We're coming up out of that thing. And there's grace for everybody to do it. Everybody can rise. It doesn't matter where you've been, where you're coming from. God can take you and raise you up and make you a person of excellence and cause you to prosper and make you a huge success. Do not limit yourself to your past or your parents before you. And what everybody else is doing in your family tree, which is full of nuts. Don't limit yourself. You say, I'm going to follow God. And it might be just pushing this over here and cleaning this up over here and picking that up. You don't want to, but bless God, you're going to pick up that sock. And you're going to put it in the appropriate place. This is hard. I know it's hard. It feels hard. I know how it is. It's laziness. It makes everything difficult. But you're going to do it, and you're going to get stronger, and you're going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. With, you know, things that were one time a big deal are not a big deal at all. Now you can handle more, so you can have more. You can do more. We can't limit ourselves anymore. I'm not going backwards. There's people that have gone backwards. There's people that actually got off to a good start in life, and then they just party all day, party. They just give it into the flesh, and well, let's just watch TV, you know, and just let's play video games. Let's just do that, and they just went backwards, to the point where they became weaker and weaker and duller, to the point where it's like they're like this guy that can hardly get their hand back up to their mouth after they go down in the bowl. They've just gone backwards. But if you went that way, you could turn it around. I said, you could turn it around. Let's go forward. Let's develop diligence. Somebody say, I'm worth it.
I'm worth it.
Yes, you are. You're worth it. You're worth developing diligence. You're worth it. To the degree that we're diligently growing spiritually and developing our faith will be to the degree that we will be able to receive the things that we're asking for from God. I want to receive things quick from him. But I know that requires me learning to be quick to believe. Quick to believe. I can't be a wishy-washy believer. I can't be a wishy-washy believer. I got to believe. God says that I believe it, that settles it. Bless God. But to have that, you got to be a person that's taking care of yourself spiritually. A person that's developing your faith. Jesus, after he rose from the dead, he came across a couple of disciples. They didn't know it was the Lord. And they were talking as they were walking down the road. And he came up and said, what are you guys talking about? And they said, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem and doesn't know what's going on? He goes, what are you talking about? So then they share with him about Jesus of Nazareth and what happened to him. And Jesus is walking along with them. And then he starts talking to him. He says, in Luke chapter 24, they still don't know it's the Lord. Verse 25, then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. And then he begins to go through the scriptures with them. And later on they said their hearts burned as he was opening the scriptures to them. And when they sat down and were going to eat, he blessed the food and Jesus disappeared. And then their eyes were open. They understood it was the Lord they were talking to the whole time. But look at that statement that Jesus said, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe. I don't want to be a foolish one that is slow of heart to believe. I want to be quick to believe it. I see it. I get it. I get it. I want to get it quick, don't you? I want to get it. I want to get understanding. I want to get revelation. I want to know the things of God, and I want to believe it. I don't want to have any doubt about me whatsoever. I want to live and walk by faith. Because that's the life of victory. The life of faith. Because it releases God's grace, God's ability in your life. I don't want to be slow of heart to believe. So if you can be slow of heart to believe, and that's foolish, then quite obviously we could be quick of heart. Quick of heart to believe. Over in Mark chapter 1, in verse 30, it says, but Simon's wife's mother, this is Peter, his mother lay sick with a fever. His wife's mother lay sick with a fever. And they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. How fast did that fever go? Immediately. We could say diligently. It diligently left. But notice that they were diligent to get him. Notice it says, and they told him about her at once. I mean, that means immediately. They went right to Jesus about her. She's got a fever? Jesus! It wasn't, she's got a fever? Oh, that's terrible. My goodness. I hope it don't get any worse. You know, everybody's been getting that same fever. Let's go talk about it to a few other people. You know, Agnes, she got that fever last week. She was vomiting. It was awful what happened to her. I hope that doesn't happen to Peter's mother-in-law. We talked to everybody else. And then it's like, you know, it's gotten so bad, we better go and get Tylenol. And then finally we go in there, you get Tylenol. And the Tylenol, fever came down a little bit, but it keeps spiking. That fever just keeps coming back. Well, give her another Tylenol for crying out loud. Get her another Tylenol. Maybe we should go to the emergency room. Maybe we should go to the doctor. Maybe we should get a physical. And then someone says, maybe we should pray. Has it come to that? It's like the last thing on the list. I have nothing against Tylenol. Don't take me out of context. You can have your Tylenol and your whatever else you want. You can call the doctor. Go to the emergency room. But first go to Jesus. We want to see immediate results from God. Let's go to God immediately. Diligently. See, that's what I mean when I say, according to the diligence of your faith, let it be diligently done unto you. Let it be done unto you. So let's have diligent faith. Diligent believing. Quick to believe. Immediately. Believe it immediately. Praise God. We hear the word and we hear the word, right? We don't just hear. It's not like just noise. Pastor says something. I don't know. A lot of times church is over, you know. People leave. And they go, man, church was so good tonight. What was it about? Oh, I don't know. It was good. What was it about? I don't really remember right now, but it was good. Well, do you care to remember? It was so good you just forgot about it. Bless your darling heart. That's nobody here. But that's how, you know, the body of Christ, I've seen those problems. Somebody say, I'm quick to believe. Quick to believe. Amen. We're quick. We get it quick. We get this quick, and we're excited about it. Yes. We're stirred up, man. We're enthused. We're eager to learn. I'm eager to learn the Word of God. You know, if you really don't care, it's like, oh, it's Wednesday night. I guess I got to go to church. I think they're doing attendance tonight. You know, people that come to church because they have to come to church, that's all they do is come to church. That's it. That's all that happens. I went to church. That's all they got is I went to church. But we want to get more than just I went to church, right? We want to get some things, man. We want to build our spirit up, build our faith up, and be super quick to believe. Super quick believers. Jesus was so diligent. He would just say a word and whack, it would happen just like that. Because he lived such a diligent life. He was so, everything he did was, it was immediate. He obeyed the Father immediately. He didn't say, I know I needed to. Like you ask a lot of Christians, you say, you know, are you doing everything you're supposed to do, everything you know to do? You know, just do a self-examination. Are you doing everything you know to do that God wants you to do? Well, you know, probably a few things that I need to, you know, I probably should pray more. When are you going to do it? Well, I'll get to it. See, everything's so casual. Get aggressive. Get aggressive with it. Because we want aggressive results, right? Don't we want to see God move aggressively on our behalf? Now, he is. He is aggressive. This isn't going to like stir him and go, you're aggressive, I'm aggressive. No, he's aggressive. But if we're not aggressively believing, then we're not able to receive that aggressiveness of God in our life. We're limiting him. We're limiting him. It's kind of like a funnel. You know, you got this big God so full, he's ready to pour into our life. And as it gets closer to us, you know, the funnel just gets more and more narrow and narrow and narrow until this is like a little pinhole. And it's just dip, 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 dip. Just little drips are coming out. Because that's our believing. And he's trying to pack it in there. And it's just dripping. It's dripping through the funnel. So let our faith funnel increase. Let's increase our faith funnel. And more will come gushing in on us quicker and quicker and quicker. You know, I just recently went and added some oil to our car. I put a funnel in the oil thing, and I'm pouring it out. And he had to stop because, you know, it fills up the funnel real quick. It's not going into the car as quick because the funnel is so small. So you know what I'm saying? You pour it in, the funnel fills up, and you got to stop. Oh, it's going to overflow the funnel. It's like you're waiting for it to go down. Put a little more oil in. Okay. I want God to just go. It's just going. We're just getting filled. We can have that. How? Just be aggressive. Be diligent. Develop diligence. Diligent faith. Can you say amen? Praise God forever. How many people going to do it? We're going to develop diligent faith. Amen. Let's stand on our feet. Let's thank the Lord tonight.
That concludes this message.
For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.